5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Jades, I forgot to get, I wanted to hit this in the last hour, but we're going to hit it because it has something to do with the GOAT. It's an interesting stat. Give me your stat of the day or your story of the day, whatever we're calling it. We don't know. We don't need to label things here, man. They just happen. Hook me up, Jades. What are you thinking, man? There it is.
There we go. It took me a sec, but we got there. So today, my stat is that Tom Brady, when he's with a team for the first year,
which has only happened twice.
Right.
Okay.
He has increased their win percentage on average by 41%. So
wait, is that with Michigan too? Or is it just NFL?
It's just the Pats and the Bucks.
I would be curious to know. Okay, so what is the percentage again?
41%. So when he was with the Patriots, they went from 5-11 to 14-3, which is 51% better. With the Bucks, it was from 7-9 to 15-5, 31% better.
Wow.
So they're including a playoff as well.
Playoffs as well. Yeah. Huh? I mean, so he's that good, dude. You asked me if that was the GOAT. I mean, is that a debate anymore? Is that a real debate? Like, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, all that stuff, I don't think it's a debate. I think it's Michael Jordan. I honestly, from who I watched, I would go Kobe Bryant next. But there's also debate for guys I didn't really grow up watching, like Larry Bird, and I get that, Magic Johnson. But is this the one thing we can agree on as sports fans? It's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT as far as quarterbacks go. I mean, the Super Bowls are there. The stats are there. The awards are there. The wins are there. Those are the things that you look at. You can't just look at Super Bowls. You can't just look at stats. You can't just look at wins. But you pull them all together. He's got them all.
I think there's four undisputed GOATs. I think it has to be Tiger, Woods, Brady, Michael Phelps, and Serena Williams.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, because name another tennis player. name another swimmer.
That. You got me
but
there.
But that's why they have it, though. I mean, you're right. Those are probably more undisputed. Michael Phelps is probably more undisputed than anybody. Serena Williams probably, too. Because even if I don't care if you're a tennis fan or not, you know that name. You don't know any other names, but you know the Williams sisters, but she's number one. So you're right. Tom Brady, though, is in that elite group. Because there's no other obvious one we can talk about. Tom is that guy. Now, what's the arguments against him? He had Bill Belichick? Well, he went and won a Super Bowl at least and hasn't missed the play. 2 years with Tampa Bay, and he has given his team a shot. 1-1 and was pretty damn close, at least deep into the playoffs, last season. I mean, there's no debate there, right? But Noob asked if who my current Hall of Famers. It's just three, isn't it, right now? Current quarterbacks in the league who you could say right now, if they retire today, are Hall of Famers. It's Aaron Rodgers, it's Tom Brady, and I do think Patrick Mahomes is probably already there. I think he is there, yeah.
You're forgetting Lamar Jackson.
Well, obviously. He's in the greatest of Hall of Fames. He's in the Hall of Fame. No, okay. I gotta be real. He's nowhere close. Josh Allen's not close yet. Super Bowls, like, if there was a system of whatever raises you up, winning a Super Bowl certainly raises you up big time. But if your numbers outside of that are not very good, like Nick Foles and stuff, then it brings you down big time. McLean says, oh, so you're at me for my Mike Shanahan thing. I better not tell it to Ed McCaffrey, right? Because I'm pretty sure he's all in on get Shanahan in. Only 13 coaches in NFL history have more than one Super Bowl appearance, and one of them is Mike Shanahan. I'll give you this, McLean. Shanahan's the one of my very elite Hall of Fame that I could probably be swayed. And that's because the way he changed the game. People run that offense in college and the NFL. There's variations of that offense to this day. So I could be swayed on Mike Shanahan. And I love Mike Shanahan. But you guys listen to me to tell it like I think it is and not always just go with maybe the popular fan. I had a hard time with Terrell Davis getting in. He didn't play that long. Longevity's a big deal. My fear with Shanny is, what did he do outside of Denver? What did he do with Washington? Did they go to the playoffs? They went to the playoffs, am I right, once? Maybe he ruined Robert Griffin III's career, both mentally and physically. Now, I'm not starting a whole, like, hate Shanny debate, but RG3 probably shouldn't have been playing in that playoff game, in that final game, you know, when he won Rookie of the Year and all that. He had that banged-up knee, and he was never the same since. RG3 was damn good that rookie year. And Shanny knew that their only chance to really succeed is if he's in the game, even if he's struggling. Listen, we all know the Shanny stories. Terrell Davis was, like, in a migraine where he literally couldn't see. Shanny didn't care. He put him in there anyway. Now, we all think it's heroic and stuff, but nowadays we would be like, that is a bad coach. Putting him in harm's way like that? Again, love Mike Shanahan. I'm just saying that I know from some of my guys that were involved with the Broncos, I'm not going to give names, that have told me that he did not care if you were hurt. Like, he just did not care. Player would say, my knee's banged up. I can't be in right now. I don't care. But should that keep you out of the Hall of Fame? No. Shanny, I could be swayed. I just don't think there's a lot of coaches that probably deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. It's hard to do it. People, Brady, why is Bill Cowher in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. He shouldn't be. Don't argue with me. Don't come at me with who they've put in the Hall of Fame. If it were, people have come at me too and said, Brady, you only have like 12 people in the hall. Is that, why is that a bad thing? Pat Bowlen, yes. Should have been in the Hall of Fame like that. I don't think you should have to wait 5 years or whatever it is either. I think you should be, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're in the Hall of Fame. If Tom Brady retires today, he's in tomorrow. And if he decides to come back the next day, he's still in the Hall of Fame because nothing he's going to do outside of bad stuff, right, is going to take him out. And if he does bad stuff, you take him out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, Jades, I think we did this the wrong way. I'm doing my AFC West, my best of the West, and I'll summarize it coming back, but we're going to do this now. I finished with maybe the least, like the least exciting position in the AFC West. And that's interior defensive linemen. We get to it today in the NFL, AFC West edition. I don't know. I mean, we talked about edge rushers yesterday. The weakness in the West is certainly inside linebacker. Interior defensive linemen. This one's a really tough one to evaluate. You're not really looking at stats necessarily, more so maybe than any defensive position. You're looking at just how they wreak some havoc in there. Do they move blockers around and make it easier for linebackers and edge rushers? For the Broncos, you know, surprisingly, they come in pretty good on their line. Getting DJ Jones entering his sixth season, his first year with Denver. He had 43 solo tackles last year, 11 assists, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble. Those are decent numbers for an inside lineman. You know, he's a right D end, but in the 3-4, he's more inside. He was ranked by Pro Football Focus as 18th out of 109 on the defensive end in a 3-4 defense. So I think that's, you got to mention that. So, I mean, he's pretty solid. They did a really good job, actually, of moving offensive linemen around. Mike Purcell, he was ranked 39th out of 109. Decent, again. His best season was 19. But he's been still a pretty reliable nose tackle for the Broncos. Draymond Jones, who I think the best is yet to come. He's the worst of those three. But he's a guy that I think we still look at and say maybe that there's some potential there to be a difference maker for the Broncos. So I like their interior line. I really do. How does that stack up with the dreaded Chargers? The Chargers have had so many top players in these position groups that we've gone over. Morgan Fox, Austin Johnson, who's their lefty end? Sebastian Joseph Day, right? he's, I mean, pretty solid. So I think, oh, what do we got there, Jades? Did you just text me something? So we got breaking news? We got breaking news on this. I want to get to this, though. But Joe Burrow, there's some interesting news coming out of Joe Burrow's camp here, and we'll get to that. But let's hit it. Yeah, we got breaking news right now, according to ESPN. We do have to, we break for breaking news. You know, some people break for squirrels, we break for breaking news. Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow to have an appendectomy coming up. So we're talking about pressure going into the season. Oh my goodness, the timetable for the procedure remains unclear. It's likely to be within the next 48 hours, according to a source familiar with the procedure. NFL Network was actually the first one to report on this impending procedures. They reported to practice today. Their first official training camp is set for tomorrow. Very, very, I mean, how serious is that? Keep him out of first portion of camp, I guess, right?
It's not a very serious procedure, but, I mean, it is something to look for.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll keep him out of this. It's a fairly crucial time in training camp. You want everybody there, but obviously wish Joe Burrow the best going forward. So there you go. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Kind of going back into this, I'll wrap this one up quickly because I don't think people are like, oh, we got to know who the best inside linemen are, which it's still important. Kansas City with their base 4-3. Chris Jones, maybe one of the best kind of inside guys. I mean, yeah, that's going to put them up there quite a ways. Chris Jones is a stud. Derek Nnadi, he's not great, maybe not move the needle as much, but I think with Chris Jones, maybe that elevates things. How about the Raiders with on their side of things? Nichols and Jonathan Hankins, not great. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Chris Jones raises it up. I'm going to go Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. I'll have that now written up and in my deep thoughts from a wandering mind, ranking the best in the West, position by position group. And I do have the Broncos, who fared really well defensively here. But I got Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Write that down for me, Jades. I don't have my notes in front of me. I'll grab them. But there you go. And we just got the news moments ago with Joe Burrow set to have an appendectomy pretty soon, within the next 48 hours. So, although I don't think that's extremely serious, it'll probably keep him out of the first portion of training camp. I would assume maybe all of it. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 1 o'clock, how many push-ups could you do in one sitting in a row, Jades? I don't know why we just thought about that, but it's a good question. It's a good question that needs answered. Right now, if somebody's like, hey, you got to do, like, if a drill sergeant came in here and said, drop and give me what you feel like you could do, like real push-ups, not on your knees. Those are not real push-ups.
I think in well over go, 20.
You could easily hit 20?
Yeah.
30?
You think probably
30, maybe the max?
I'd say somewhere around 30.
I'd like to think I could hit 50 in one shot. But I don't know.
Push-up competition.
Do we have one of those? How many do you think Tanner, and Brian could do combined? Good morning, NoCo.
30.
Combined? So we're took 15 of 15. Think Tanner's popping out maybe 20. Brian's chucking in 10.
Give or take.
How many do you think Clark and the coach could do? Do you think we're? Do you think they could get to 10?
All I'm saying is the whole show's winning this competition.
Oh, yeah. No, we are absolutely winning. I might not win a golf competition, but we're winning the push-up competition. How many do you think the nerd show guys can do? Probably none, right?
I mean, minus 10.
I mean, that's probably right. We're probably looking at zero at that point. Or maybe five of the ones on your knees. Maybe we can. How to piss off the entire KFKA on-air staff. Just talk about their lack thereof of skill set for push-ups.
You know, since you hate golf so much,
oh, I just hate
how about what if we start giving different teams handicaps?
Instead I could just do push-ups instead to help my shot out. Would that help? Okay, I could do something like that. Although in the heat might be a different story. Outside's a different story when it's 99 degrees or whatever. So I don't know. All right, Hulligans, how many? Noob, how many push-ups do you think you can do? Noob's a fit guy. Dixon? Dixon's a big dude. Maybe so. McLean, I bet you could do a few. Be interesting. Push-up channel challenge. All right, Jades, you reminded me of something this morning that we have yet to register one person for the annual whole show fantasy football challenge. And I think it's about time we do that, don't you think? So we do two teams of 10. Or each team has 10 different leagues. And what happens is we take the two winners from each of those leagues, and then whoever has the most combined points wins the belt. So it's just the way it goes. Some argue how we do it, but that's how we do it so we can get more people lined up for it. But we get the whole show one side, whole show two side. We have the winner from each. Then we put those two up against each other at the end of it. Whoever had the most points from the regular season on, I think it's just the regular season points, then that's the winner of the belt.
So it's not head-to-head for... They don't go head-to-head?
No,
in the
they don't go head-to-head. Dixon won it last year. Dixon's... I mean, we got... I know that the two guys, the best fantasy football players in our side of it, Dixon and Will Smith. The Will Smith plays in our fantasy draft. Did you know that, James? You didn't know that the Will Smith plays in it? No, not like the actor, but the Will Smith. I mean, that's... His name is actually Will Smith, so I just call him the Will Smith. It's my nickname for him.
The baseball player?
Yes, that too.
Both of them?
I think there's a football player named Will Smith too.
Dang.
Yeah. So this is the guy. Noob says, I could do as many push-ups as Wilson will throw touchdowns for the Broncos this year. 43. I'm holding you to that, Noob. However many touchdowns Wilson throws this year is how many push-ups you have to do in a row. Perfect form. Okay? We're holding you to it. So what caller do you want to take? It's a free league. It's a fun league. I register. The only person that gets the free pass in this, that gets in no matter what, me, obviously. It's my league. And Jades, if you want in, you're in. And then Dixon, because he won it. The winner gets in automatically every single year. But if you want to be in it this year, you got to get it right on the dial. So you ready for that? Do we want to make them work for it this year? Some kind of trivia or something we could come up with? Noob says, wait, you didn't say in a row. No, over like a course of a few months, see if you can churn out those push-ups. Okay, I'm gonna make people work here. I'm going to make people work, Jades, and I'm going to go confirm it right now. Here's what I want to know. We're revamping starting Monday. We're starting back with my Player of the Week, Zvi Brewing, stepping it up. They're going to be sponsoring my Player of the Week. Now that we're going to be getting into more than just baseball in about a month, I'm going to have a lot to pick from. So here's what I'm going to do. If you don't know offhand, you're going to have to go to thewholeshow.com. If you want to get in our Fantasy Football Challenge, here's the deal. I've had a lot of Players of the Week since we started this back in the day. My first player of the week, my first whole show player of the week was December 4th, 2021. Who was it? I'll give you during the break so you'll know, Jades. If you don't know off the top of your head, you got to just think logically. Think of the teams that I talk about. Think of the time frame. And I'm going to take the first caller. Call in to get that right. First caller. 970-353-1310. You will be our first one in our fantasy football challenge. Jade, you're gonna track these for me, right? Okay. You'll need to get their email address. First, last name, email address. It's free to enter, and we play for the belt. We're probably going to be doing it at Cable's Pub and Grill. They're going to be hooking us up. Who was my first whole show player of the week? We debuted this segment on December 4th, 2021. Get it right, and you're in our fantasy football challenge for a chance to win the belt of glory of greatness. Greatest thing, greatest trophy you'll ever win. First caller to call and get it right. 970-353-1310. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
You guys are close. I mean, I'm giving you a cheat sheet. Go to thewholeshow.com, find the tab for Player of the Week, and go to you got to go to the bottom of the page. Go to the very first page. Well, it's not the first, it's the fifth page because we had five pages of these. And find my very first Player of the Week. And that person will be entered in our free fantasy football challenge. Who was? We had a couple of guesses for Nikola Jokic. Good guess. He won a lot of them. Couple of guesses for Roddy. Keep going. Keep going. The belt is glorious. Have you seen this thing? I mean, Dixon has it. It is a beautiful belt. It's wonderful. You could win this thing, and it's yours. You never give it up. We get a new belt every single year. Although Jade suggested we just, like, bling out a regular belt from, like, Kohl's or something. Which we could, man. Budget's getting a little tight these days. Might have to figure something out.
There's got to be some listener who has a bedazzler.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they're hooligans we're talking about here. They have a lot of weird things going on. So give me my very first Player of the Week. Very first one. And you're in our fantasy football challenge. Just think about the teams I talk about. And it was December. I'm leading you to water right now, hooligans. I'm leading you there. In December, what was going on? And who were teams that were really good? And who were players that were really good on those teams? So you get that right. Call in. First Advantage to Hotline, 970-353-1310. Or toll free, 877-353-1310. Getting geared up, man. Training camp, they're checking in today. We're trying to get Zach on. We probably won't get Zach on until tomorrow. Zach Stevens of DMVR Broncos. It's going to be a blast. We're so pumped for the season to start. Because the fall brings in so much newness of what can Denver do? Can Colorado State bounce back after the dreaded Adazio years and the fizzling years that came along with Mike Bobo? Can Ed McCaffrey, one of the biggest stories, I don't even think in Northern Colorado, maybe in the state when it was announced that Ed McCaffrey would be the head coach of the UNC Bears, that was the story, man. That was a monster story that he would come up here and coach. Can he get it right? Can he bring victory and success to UNC for really the first time since joining D1 back in, what, 2004 or 5? When I first started going to college up here, that was when they were making that transition. And they haven't really been great since. So can they get back on track? I mean, that's the beautiful part about football season is right now it's a clean slate. You know, we're looking at where CSU's ranked in the West and or in the Mountain West. We're going to get the rankings coming out from the Big Sky Conference. We'll have that for you. All of that. You know, CU Buffs. So this Pac-12 mumbo jumbo that's going on. You know, where will the Buffs position themselves? When it's all said and done, will they be committed to a different conference before the season starts? Isn't that crazy, that story I found from the Denver Post this morning, is Associated Press story, that the Pac-12's TV ratings, I'm guessing that meant when there were national games for Pac-12 teams, that they were higher, they were better than the Big 12 teams collectively? Does that just not blow your mind? You have ratings like that and you can't go get more money? Also signed a they signed that long-term TV deal that doesn't leave a lot of room for, you know, editing and saying, hey, we're bringing this amount of ratings to the table. We need to renegotiate this, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to be able to keep these teams if we don't do this. Pac-12 just set themselves up for failure. And not to say it's all the Pac-12's fault. This is where football is going in college is, you know, we are edging toward the haves and the have-nots, as Nick Saban said. You know, he said, hey, this is going to benefit the haves. Unfortunately, the have-nots are going to probably be scraping to put something else together. I mean, the prediction that's not so crazy anymore is, again, that we have an NFC and an AFC in college football. That essentially the SEC and Big 10, Big 12 all merge to join up and make this massive college football two-party system. I mean, it would be as a fan on the outside of like not thinking locally, it would be pretty entertaining. Why not capture the NFL's model? The NFL is the only one that has them both right. Jades, I know you're a baseball guy, but the NFL is the only one that has the training camp. They have all three parts: the training camp buildup, the regular season, and the postseason. And then, of course, if you want to say the Super Bowl is its own entity, they have all four of the key points. College basketball, nationally, the regular season. I mean, locally, you get into it and stuff. But, I mean, are you really that interested in December in watching a college basketball game? You might watch some of the marquee matchups, but you're not like, oh, every single night. I mean, for me personally, covering sports, we are. I mean, I watched a ton of Mountain West basketball last year. That race was a blast to follow. But let's face it, the masses aren't really getting into college basketball until we get closer to conference tournament and then March Madness, of course. Football's the opposite. It's all about the regular season in college football. The regular season is king. Bowl season blows. Playoffs are cool, but that's for four teams that you're into. So they don't have it right all the way. Championship game is still fun, but you guys, I think a lot of people are tired of seeing Alabama and, you know, the Ohio States and all of these teams that are just constantly there. Baseball? I know you watch a lot of regular season baseball, Jades, but I don't think a lot of people are glued to their television sets on July 26th.
It's just too long. Like, the games don't have as much leverage. Everyone waits until Sunday because that's the only day they play that week, whereas you have some teams that might play eight games in the week.
Right. Football has it because you do. You wait all week, and Sunday all the games are there, and then you get Sunday night and Monday night and Thursday night. I mean, that not having it every single night, plus the game itself. Basketball, again, I'll watch all 82 of the Denver Nuggets. I don't know that I watch a lot of out-of-market basketball. You know, I watch, you know, what is it, Thursday nights or Wednesday? I don't even know the nights. That's how great it is. But like TNT, when they have their games of the week and stuff, yeah, I'm into that stuff. Hockey? Regular season? Not doing it, unless there's like these tight races. The NFL is the only one that does it. Why would college football not look at that and say, man, we could stand to be a monster, even more monster powerhouse than college football already is if we develop this two-party system and we just, oh, Holyoke got it right. He texted in. He got it right. Good job. Noob, you were close. Holyoke got it right. He's in our fantasy football challenge. You're going to make it up to Cables, Holyoke, because we know where Holyoke's from, right? The name kind of says it there. You're going to make it. You're in. You've got it. Isaiah Stevens was our very first player of the week. Oh, wow. Susan and Cheryl just love that. And it's probably a little too soon to announce this, but Isaiah Stevens will be taking over David Roddy's spot this year. David Roddy's show will now become the Isaiah Stevens show. So we're pretty pumped about that. But yes, congratulations to Holyoke. I need your email address. So shoot us a text and we'll get your email address and you'll be in. You don't have to make it to Cables. We'd much rather see your lovely face there, though. Maybe make a day of it. Should be a blast. Can't wait for that. But the college football scene, if you just looked at it, took a step out and, you know, you're not a CSU fan, you're not even a Buffs fan, and look at what might be great for college football, might be two monster conferences duking it out. And, you know, you just hopefully you can get a CU in there to represent the state of Colorado. I would love to see two teams in there. But could CSU get there? Could you come to that table? I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of college football teams, man. And not everybody's going to get in on this thing. That's just the way it is. I heard Joel Klatt talking about it. Love hearing Joel Klatt. He's great at what he does. We got to try to get him on the show sometime. That would be fantastic. He said it might not seem like it right now, especially for the have-nots, but he thinks that this is going to be ultimately a very good thing for football. And I actually agree with him from the national perspective. It absolutely is going to be a good thing for football, for college football. It just, you just might have to not have your local team in it. And that's unfortunate because we talk a lot of CSU on this show. I would hate it if CSU Mountain West teams. I love watching the Mountain West. I get into it. That would suck if they're not allowed to ever sit at that table. Just the small percentage chance that they get right now, they still have us. I mean, yes, theoretically, if CSU goes and beats Michigan day one and wins out, would they get in the Final Four? Probably not, right? They'd have to win a lot. I mean, you'd have to do that you'd have to do that for like 3 years. They would be a ranked team. They would crack the top 25. They might even crack the top 15. But they wouldn't get number 4-4-3-2-1. They wouldn't get there. Now, they would have to do that. If they did it, like, let's say they did it 3 years in a row. They were like, they lost two games in 3 years. Would that get them there? I mean, that's the thing. You have to, like, make monster history in order to get a seat at that table. How about Boise State? Fresno State. Talking about Fresno State, we think Fresno State's going to be really freaking good this year. If they go undefeated, are they looking at a Final Four type situation? No. And that's just the nature of this thing. Not to say that's fair, but we've seen it too much. And you'd honestly just need to see Fresno State do it 3 years in a row and just absolutely dominate. Like, who do they have? Okay, so they play at USC this year. So Fresno State realistically go, okay, they have Oregon State, UConn. Yeah, again, USC, that's the marquee matchup. That's one. They would have to win out and then do it next year. And then do it again. And then do it again. That's probably the reality of the situation. 47 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll wrap up on the other side. What's on the tube tonight? We'll go over that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Got our game beer of the week, fixed on the rocks liquor. This one's from Colorado Native Brewing, Amber Lager. Pick up selections from Colorado Native or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks. You can use the drive-thru or pop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. Also, this Friday from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks, the good folks from Tivoli Beer will be on hand for tastings. Then they're doing it again on Saturday. From 4 to 7, more free tastings from the World Whiskey Society. That's at On the Rocks Liquor. They're doing great things over there. They're off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley, of course, near Buffalo Wild Wings. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Well done to Holyoke. You are now in. We'll register somebody tomorrow for our fantasy football challenge. It's free. And the winner gets the belt. Gets the new belt. We'll get the design going and everything. But make sure you sign up and we'll have maybe some trivia or something. We might make it easy once in a while, call her three or four, but got to make you work a little bit for it, man. I mean, it's a legitimate belt. This is, you're competing with the world's greatest minds in our whole show fantasy football challenge. Kyle Freeland was fantastic last night, wasn't he? I mean, when you see that game, this is, Freeland can be this good, Jades. He is, I think he is a fantastic pitcher. But with great, I mean, to be a great pitcher, it's not always about your physical tools that you have. It's not always about, you know, what pitches you can throw, the command you have. It's up, it's been in between the ears. So much of pitching is in between the ears. And I've noticed that with Freeland. You look at the last game, was it against the Padres, the time before that we saw him out? That was the game that he really struggled in. He was not happy that he came out, lost it in the dugout. But when that guy just looks dialed in, boy, it's just, you think he's going to be able to do something really special. And that's the kind of game, if you can get that from Kyle Freeland, and then Marquez can do that tonight, and give you 6 to 7 innings and keep it you know, low scoring. I'm not even saying shut it out the whole time, but just find a way to keep that thing low scoring. Don't put your, you know, don't rely on your bullpen. We can't do that at this point. You know, Daniel Bard, who has been very good all year, had a couple of scares in that game. Brendan Rodgers was a little spooky for me in this game last night there, Jades. Here's this sequence of play. You don't have the third, but he, how did it go? He gives up. There's a guy on first. He almost has the double play. He drops. He fumbles the ball. Turns around, gives it up. You get a guy on first, now third. And then he also makes a crazy catch to save a run. And then he ends the game with the line drive. This was a weird sequence for Rodgers.
Deals, Adames on the ground, got a chance for two. Rodgers throws and fumbles it, and Adames is safe. Rockies up 2-0. Here's the 1-2. Line drive caught by Rodgers. Ball game over.
That was big right there. Thanks again to our friends at AT&T Sportsnet for the call on that one. I was telling Tanner this morning, I said, man, Brendan Rodgers lived like 9 lives in the 9th inning. He had everything go like that. That almost cost him. That could have cost him the game. It could have cost him, you know, at least the lead and made things could have cost him the 2-0 lead and made things interesting late. And you don't want to set your, no outs when he botched that double play, right? Or was there? There was one out. There was one out, right? There was. We had the one out. I can't remember how that thing went down. I just
No outs.
There was no outs. So when Brendan Rodgers fumbles that ball, you're thinking, oh my gosh, really? Are the Rockies going to lose this game coming off of a chance to have a double play, take everybody off base? You'd have two outs. Now you just need Daniel Bard to throw 3 strikes and it's over. Instead, you get a runner on first and third, and scary times ensued for the Rockies. But Daniel Bard continued to stay in there, stayed focused, and you get Brendan Rodgers, who made 2 critical catches to ultimately end this thing, and the Rocks get it. They lose the series to Milwaukee. It was a 4-game series, but they did get one. They snapped, I think it was a 4-game losing streak because they lost the game right before the All-Star break. So they snapped the 4-game losing streak, and now you look at the White Sox coming up, 2-game series before you have a 4-game series against the Dodgers. So I think it's very important for the Rocks to find a way. Armand Marquez going to the mound tonight. You need him to do what Kyle Freeland did. I mean, that's the thing. You know the bats aren't going to just score 2 runs very often. I think the bats are starting to heat up. If you can get the pitching to go with it, especially the starting pitching, the Rocks might get themselves a little bit closer to that wild card watch. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. We got a lot of Broncos stuff to get to as training camp officially kicks off tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.